Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of creation and science according to Islam. In our last program, we talked about the great mystery of the barrier between the fresh and the salt water. We looked at Quran 35 verse 12 as we see that Allah stated that there is fresh water, sweet to be drink, and salt water, bitter. And then we looked at Quran chapter 55 verses 19 and 20, where we learn about that these two waters, the two seas, the fresh and the salt, meet together, and between them there is a barrier which they do not overpass, which contradicts what we read in Quran chapter 25 and verse 53, which stated that Allah mixed the two seas together, the fresh and the salt water, and Allah put this barrier between them, and this barrier is a force repelling. But as we investigate the true record of the history, we learn about a man by the name Pliny the Elder, who observed this particular behavior a good 500 years before Muhammad was born. So now we know the truth that this claim of Muslims that Muhammad is a great prophet simply because he mentioned this barrier between the fresh and the salt water now is a fraud. So this scientific proof and this great mystery of the Quran is not a mystery at all. And anyone can go online and do a search to find the truth about this great miracle of the Quran. It is not any mystery or a miracle at all. Now I'd like to move on with our study to ask the following question. Why were the stars created? The answer is written in the Quran. So let us begin by looking at what Allah mentioned in at least three different verses. That is Quran chapter 6 verse 97, Quran chapter 67 verse 5, and Quran chapter 37 verses 6 through 10. First, let us listen to what Allah said about the reason for the creation of the stars in chapter 6 and verse 97. For there we read,
"And He is who has made the stars for you so that you may be guided by it in the darkness of the shore and the sea." Indeed, we expound on the verses for people who know.
Once again, our dear Muslim friends will say, "Here it is, another miracle in the Quran. How did Muhammad know that they can use the stars to travel during the night? For it is the guidance Allah put in the sky for the people who are in the water or those who travel in the desert." But believe it or not, this is not a new knowledge. For as we read in the Bible, we know that the Magi, the wise men who even went to visit baby Jesus, they were scholars of the stars. They studied the stars, and history proved to us that there are many people for hundreds of years before Muhammad was born knew about this particular fact that the north, south, east, and west can be known from studying the stars. So there is no miracle Muhammad is telling us here in that verse. Yes, God created the stars, and from the stars we can know direction for our traveling. Or how about Quran chapter 67 verse 5? For there we read,
"And indeed we adorned the heaven of the world with lamps and made them to be missiles for the Satans."
Now we need to think together about this great mystery of the Quran. For here in the Quran chapter 67 verse 5, Allah said to us that the heavens were adorned with the lamps, with the stars, and these stars were simply missiles for the devils, for the Satans. Can you imagine this with me? Allah literally made all these stars in the sky simply as missiles to stop Satan from getting near the heavens, or to stop the demons of Satan to draw near the heavens. And you may think I'm making this up. No, my friend. Every Muslim scholar who interprets that verse assured us of this fact. And to prove my point, let us listen together to the following passage, which is Quran chapter 37, verses 6 through 10. Here is Allah's word once again.
Surely we have adorned the heavens of the world with the adornment of the planets and keeping against every rebellious Satan. They do not hear the assembly on high, for they are thrown from every side, expelled, and they have continuous torment, except who snatch the snatching, so a shooting star follows him.
Yes, indeed, my friend. The heavens were adorned by these lamps, by these missiles, and they are put there for a very important reason, that is to keep the rebellious Satan from coming back to heaven. Because since Allah cast Satan from heaven to earth after he refused to worship Adam, until today Satan is trying hard to go back to heaven. He wants to know or to hear what Allah and the angels in heaven are saying to each other. That's why he is trying himself along with his demons to go back to heaven. But Allah knows how to protect heaven from Satan and from his demons. That's why Allah created all these stars to be used as missiles. And that's not my interpretation. That's all Muslim scholars' interpretation. And every time, whenever a demon or Satan himself tried to go back to heaven quickly, one of the angels hold one of these stars and threw it on that demon or Satan. And that's how they kept and protect the heavens from Satan and his demons. Now, let me ask you a question. How in the world did Muhammad come up with this idea? I do not know exactly, but I believe on one summer night, when it was too hot, Muhammad was laying on his back out in the fresh air. As he looked up, he saw a shooting star. And quickly he thought of it. What could it be? This is not normal. And Muhammad thought and thought and thought. And deeply he came up with this great idea. This is one of the stars which one of the angels used to shoot one of the Satans to stop them from coming up to heaven. Did Muhammad know how big the stars are? Of course not. Did Muhammad know what causes this light to come out of one of the stars? Of course not. But it was a very good idea. And he said, boy oh boy, I can add a few more verses in Quran chapter 37. And he wrote exactly there, surely we have adorned the heavens of the world with the adornment of the planets and keeping against every rebellious Satan. They do not hear the assembly on high, for they are thrown from every side, expelled, and they have continuous torment, except who snatch the snatching, so a shooting star follows him. Sadaqa Allah al-Azim. Allah the Great said the truth. And that is the story about the miracles of the creation of the stars as we read it through the scientific eye of Allah and Muhammad, as it is written in the Quran and as it is interpreted by all Muslim scholars. Now let us ask another very important question. Do you know how it gets dark at night? This is the question which the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, taught the Muslim believers from the pages of the Quran. You see, Muhammad made up a story concerning a prophet who is not really a prophet at all. This is Alexander the Great. And any historian, anyone who knows anything about Alexander the Great, will know for sure that he was not a prophet at all. But Muhammad in the Quran made out of him a prophet. Why? There are many reasons. But I believe the most important reason, in my opinion, is because Alexander the Great was an invader. He invaded so many countries in the east and in the west, to the point that in his young age, there was no regions left for him to invade. And that's why Muhammad picked him up to be a noble prophet, for Muhammad himself was wishing to do exactly what Alexander the Great did. Muhammad would love to have invaded the known world in his days. And that's why after Muhammad invaded the entire Saudi Arabia Peninsula. He prepared 12 armies to carry the flag of Islam, to spread Islam throughout the world by the invasions. And that is exactly was his wishes before he died. And his wish was fulfilled in the first 57 Muslim countries in the Middle East, as Muhammad's followers invaded all the land which they were able to receive within just few hundred years after Muhammad died.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
So in the Quran chapter 18, Muhammad continued to make up the poetry of the Quran as he invented this character of Prophet Alexander the Great. And as Muhammad was telling us the story about the Prophet Alexander the Great, he actually went a little bit with his imagination, as Muhammad always did in the Quran. And that's where we learn about how it gets dark at night from the mouth of Alexander the Great, who traveled the land. We learn the wisdom about the disappearance of the sun at night. And that is what we will be reading right now from Quran chapter 18 in verse 86. And we will also be looking at Quran chapter 36 verses 38 to verse 40. First, let us listen together to Quran chapter 18. Verse 86.
So he followed a way until when he reached the setting of the sun, he found it set in a muddy spring, and he found a people by it.
Exactly. You see, he here we're reading about is Prophet Alexander the Great. As he traveled all the way to the east, he saw people right and left. And then he traveled all the way to the west, and there in the west, he saw the setting place of the sun. And guess what? That is where the great prophet Alexander the Great saw the sun set in the muddy spring. I know how many naive Muslims in the world today will try to tell us that's not really what Allah said in the Quran. What is written there, it's like, remember when you go to the beach at the time of the setting of the sun and you see the sun setting in the west, and it looked like it is setting in the water. But we know the sun does not sit in the water, but it looked like that. And that is exactly what happened with Zulkarnain, Alexander the Great. He saw the sun. It looked like it was setting in the muddy spring. But that's not what Allah said in the Quran. That's not how Muhammad understood this verse. That's not what Muslim scholars said about that verse. This is a modern day interpretation to the errors of the Quran, which is all over the Quran. You see, Muhammad was asked about that. He did not say, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, you misunderstand what I'm talking about. I did not say he saw the sun set in a muddy spring, but it looked like it was setting in the muddy spring." No. Muhammad truly said, "This is it. It is mud and water, and the sun was setting in this muddy spring, and that's how it gets dark every day. And if you keep talking with Muhammad about the sun and the conversation which the sun has with Allah every morning, as the sun will get permission from Allah to rise up again, to shine the earth, and Allah gives the sun the permission to do so, and the sun set in this muddy spring every day. Ladies and gentlemen, the interpretation of the Quran is not open for a second opinion. In the year 2015, the interpretation is already given by Allah's apostle, that is Muhammad, and all true Muslim scholars. The sun sets in the muddy spring every day. And believe it or not, this debates we have today with the educated Muslims, those who have some common sense, is not a new debate. It was there from the days of Muhammad, as we read what is written in Muslim scholars' interpretation to these verses. For example, we read about this argument between a man by the name Muawiyah and Umar ibn al-As and the prince of the believers. And they brought Ka'b to read what is written in the Torah to compare it to what is written in the Quran, because they believe that Ka'b would be a great scholar who knows the Jewish writings and who knows exactly the truth about what is written in the Old Testament concerning the setting of the sun. And Ka'b said he read in the Torah that the sun set in a black spring. And when Muhammad saw the setting of the sun, he said, it is the hot fire of Allah. If Allah will not order it, it will burn all those who are on the earth. Now, was the sun setting in a black spring or on a muddy spring? That is one in the same. Now, I'd like to move on to look at another important passage from the Quran to learn more about the nature of the sun and the nature of the sun and the moon's movement. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 36, verses 38 through 40. So listen carefully to the word of Allah.
And the sun runs to its resting place. This is the measuring of the deer, the knowing. And the moon, we have determined its houses until he returns as an old and crooked palm branch. Neither should the sun catch up to the moon, nor the night outstrip the day, and each swims in a sphere.
What a great science we need to teach in every public schools in America. Our children really, really needed this great revelation of Allah as it was given to Muhammad 1400 years ago. I don't know if our scientists and those who went to the moon have a great look and great investigation to the word of Allah in the Quran concerning the moon before they even attempt to go up to the moon. Some of the great Muslim deceivers spread the rumors that Armstrong, when he was on the moon, he heard the call of prayer and he could not wait to come down to earth to go to Saudi Arabia to perform the Hajj because he convinced that Islam is the truth because of the great miracle which Allah performed to him. While he was on the moon, he heard the entire call of prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, all the adhan. And when he came to earth, he went to Saudi Arabia, performing the Hajj, as he confessed that he saw on the moon the big crack which Muhammad caused when he broke the moon to two halves. That is what is written in Quran chapter 54 and verse 1. That is when Allah said, the hour has approached, and the moon has been split. That is a miracle which Muslims claim that Muhammad performed. He literally split the moon to two halves. And Armstrong confirmed this miracle when he went up and saw this big crack on the moon. Obviously, we all know that this is only a made-up story. Armstrong died as a Christian man. He never heard the call of prayer from the moon. And there were plenty of cracks all over the surface of the moon. And by the way, he never visited Mecca. But what do we learn from Quran chapter 36, verses 38 to 40? But another huge error in the revelation of Muhammad. We learn that the sun runs to its resting place, and the moon follow it, and they never catch up to each other. as if they are both going in one circle. Obviously, Muhammad did not have a clue that the sun and the moon do not follow each other at all. And it's amazing that Muhammad assured us in that verse that the night will never outstrip the day and the day will never outstrip the night, because Muhammad never went out of the Saudi Arabia Peninsula. And when you live in such a land, you will see that half of the day is day and the other half is night. Had Muhammad been in Greenland or Alaska, he will come with a completely different opinion. Because as you know, my dear friends, if you live in the north, you will have long days in the summer and short days in the winter. As a matter of fact, if you are in Greenland or Alaska, during Christmas, you will have a whole week dark. There's not hardly any hours of daylight. And the opposite is true. During the summer, you will have long days without any night. So this is a great evidence that the miracle of Islam, the science of Islam concerning the sun and the moon, is nothing but another error. The sun outstrip the night and the darkness outstrip the day. Is there any truth in such ridiculous science of the word of Allah concerning the sun and the moon and the stars? Of course not. And we can go on and on with these fairy tales for a long time. But this is just a quick overview to have a quick taste of the science of the Quran, the miracle of Muhammad and Islam concerning the sun and the moon and the stars. And to continue with our study of creation and science according to Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.